Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, broadcasting live from Danny's Bar and Grill in Palm Harbor, Florida. Guys, you got a bus trip going down to Tampa Bay Lightning game on October 19th. First, the Boston Bruins are going to have a lot of the DirecTV here. The NHL Network will be going right now. So, and also brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters in Bamford, Pennsylvania. Princess Lee Water Heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Roger and Frank, I'm looking at my old ballpark, the Jacobs Field. Beautiful day in Cleveland, but I don't know who to root for, guys. I mean, ties to the Indians, ties to the Rays. I don't know what to do.
Hey, listen, you have to go where your heart tells you. That's all I can say.
Just put your hat in the ring, that's all. This is the first time that you cannot lose. Two teams that you picked. This is the first time in the history of our program that Tom Gilbert cannot lose.
I know. Like the local guest is always Atlantic legend, Roger Handler, of course, a Philadelphia legend, Don Henderson. And guys, I think you're going to like this Dandy software. They're very hospitable. They have all the TVs going up there, and they're welcoming us with open arms up here, guys. And we're in a quiet spot right now. So, I mean, I'm excited for our new home of sports tonight. They have the NHL package here. They have a lot of happy hour specials. The drinks are real good. The service is excellent. It's a great sports bar up here and that. So they have embraced the Tampa Bay Lightning, embraced sports tonight with a great deal of a lot of good years to come with Dandy Sports Bar.
Tommy's new home, fellas. Tommy's new home. Listen,
well, we would like to have been with you tonight. We originally thought maybe we could be with you tonight, that the Rays would be playing at home and trying to cinch this thing, but it didn't turn out that way. They're in Cleveland, so we're all situated around the country waiting for the game to start.
Exactly.
I don't know who to vote for.
You know, Tommy, before you get into the guest, I just want to say a couple things about a show last night. I don't know if you fellas saw it or not. It was on the NFL Network, the documentary on Steve Sabol.
I did see that.
Was that one of the best shows you've ever seen, Don?
Very, very, very well done. And of course, we're lucky enough to have known him a little bit. He was on with us many, many times at 1210, and went over to over to Cherry Hill there. And boy, it was just great to see how they put that all together, and what a great documentary. You're absolutely right, Roger.
Well, I thought what was interesting is I did not know that he went to Haverford School. You know, not where I went to high school, but the private school. And
right.
How he got to Colorado College, and he played football there. He wound up as captain. But the other thing that I learned about, and I won't, pursue this much longer, but one of the I had no idea he was the esteemed artist that he is or was.
Right.
And, and I thought it was interesting that his sister said when he married his wife, Penny Ashman, she has an art studio, and that really was what got him out. But he started when he was in college, the championship game in '62. His dad had him work and do the film, and it takes you through the whole life. And then I thought that half hour that, what did they call it, backup or something like backdrop, when they had Dick Vermeil on with Rich Eisen in L.A., and then they had Jaws and Mike Mayock on at the NFL Films in Mount Laurel. And I thought what was there were just so many wonderful parts to it on the light lives that Steve Sabol influenced. But I thought the story about Mayock, who now is doing the Thursday night game and also the NBC Notre Dame games.
Right.
But he told a story. He was in commercial real estate, and he wanted to get back in football. He had played with the Giants for a couple of years. He goes over unannounced and goes to the office and wants to talk to Steve Sabol about this. And he says, I want to get back into football. And they did an audition tape on the spot. And he said it was the worst one you could ever imagine. But the thing is, today, how many people would be able to walk up to Steve Sabol or, somebody at that level and say, I want to get back into football and have somebody do an audition tape? They would have told you, call me in a month, call me in a year or something like that.
Roger, you're exactly right. The only thing I was a little disappointed in, I thought they would give a little more about his dad, because his dad was really the architect of the whole idea of the National Football League, having that game of the week and really kicking off NFL before anybody even knew about it.
Yes, I agree with you, Don, and I can remember, as we all could, the four of us, having lived in Philadelphia, when you'd come off Vine Street and you'd go north on 13th, there was the original studios and offices right there.
13th and 9. And you know, the early days you went down the field, his dad was right there. His dad was doing a lot of the work to Steve, you know. Every time you went down later on, Steve was running a camera. Steve was doing something himself. But his dad was really the one that came up with the concept. He sold it to the National Football League, and it just grew and grew and grew. And, of course, he stayed with the hometown boy, John Facenda, to do the narration, and that really kicked it off.
Wasn't that great to see John sitting next to Steve doing narration last night? The voice of God.
The best ever.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They talk about the fellow. I don't really know him, and I didn't really hear enough of him. But, you know, they tried to make a comparison between Curtis. I don't know what his first name is, out in Chicago. He came in later on.
Yeah,
and,
Bill Curtis.
And they were saying, you know, he had the voice. He was going to be able to dominate. But it never happened. I mean, John Facenda was in a class by himself.
Oh, absolutely. And then Harry Callis, of course, started doing narration. And I thought that one piece where they show Steve as like a mad scientist in a lab, and then, you know, it goes poof, the thing explodes, and here comes Harry, who's laying on the table, and he rises from the dead.
General, I like to welcome our hockey analyst, number 19 of my heart. Does a great job for the Tampa Bay Lightning youth hockey. Now he's in corporate sales, Mr. Brian Bradley. Brian, good evening, and question for you. What about Marty St. Louis, captain of the Bolts?
Oh, you know what, Tommy and Frank and everybody there tonight, it's hard to believe hockey's back. And you know what, we had a good thing last night at the Mahaffey Theater. And you know what, Marty St. Louis got named captain, I think the 9th captain in Bolt history. But, I mean, you know, I was happy for Marty. And you know what, there's not a guy who's worked harder for the honor. And you know what, Marty deserves it. He's played a long time in the NHL for everything he's been through. I think it was a great move for the organization, and I think it's well-deserved. And you know what? It's his time. I mean, you know what? I think in another year or two or three, it probably will be Stamkos. But I think for right now, it's Marty's time, and it's well-deserved, and I think he should have got it.
Exactly. Well, we proved that last year with a tremendous, tremendous year. I mean, nobody could really compare his age to his talent of what happened on the ice. And you're right. He had a terrific, terrific year. That set the stage, I think, for the captaincy.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, you know what? He led the league in scoring. I mean, you know what? The oldest player at 37 years old to leave the NHL in scoring ever. And you know what? I mean, Marty wants to have a good year and, you know, get off to a good start being captain of the team. I mean, his sights are set on the Olympics. I mean, he wants to represent Canada. I think Marty deep down was very disappointed he didn't get to go in 2010 when Canada won the gold medal. And I think this is definitely his last chance to represent Canada and do that. So he's got a lot of goals this year. And you know what? Being the captain, getting off to a good start is one of them. And then, you know, it all starts tomorrow night in good old Boston Bruin Town.
what a road trip, Brian. Boston, Chicago, and Buffalo. I was talking to the chief today, and he says, oh, my God, I guess it's been 2 days in Buffalo. I said, Chief, it's October. It'd be great weather up there.
Yeah. No kidding.
I'll tell you,
that'd
be a great night in Canada, that opener last night. And, Montreal losing at home, and at the same time, the new acquisition getting the game-winning goal.
Oh, yeah, no, it was Montreal and Toronto. What a game. Went back and forth, some fights. And then Toronto ended up winning 4-3. And then, you know, I caught a little of that one because we were at the Mahaffey Theater. And then I got home and I put on the last period of the Chicago-Washington game. What a game that was. It was 3-2. Then Washington took a lead and ended up going 6-4. I mean, wow, some high-end goal scoring. And then, you know, and same as thing as Edmonton and Winnipeg went 5-4 for Winnipeg. I mean, some really good games opening night. It was excellent.
I think is great this year is the NBC Sports Network is doing an hour pregame show leading into their featured game of the evening plus a postgame show. And I'll tell you what, for hockey lovers like us, I think that's just a real great addition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, they're doing a good job. I mean, I think I think everything's excellent. I mean, we've really, really come a long way. in terms of the sports when we first had Versus and stuff like that. We used to have ESPN, but I mean, it's great to see. I mean, hockey's growing. I mean, I heard a rumor in the next, 3 years, it'll grow even to $1 billion more, which is huge
wow.
revenue for the owners. So I think it's a win-win situation. I think, I'm looking forward to watching the game tomorrow. I mean, see how our goaltenders play. We have some young defensemen maybe in the lineup, like Schuster, and, we've got that Tyler Johnson line with Platt and, Panic. And we want to see how some of those guys play tomorrow. So it's really exciting to see how this shapes up. The Finnish guy, Filipov, who Yzerbrand brought in from Detroit, $5 million guys at center. Obviously, it's going to be interesting to see him and Teddy Purcell and Kilhorn. And then you've got, obviously, Steven Stamkos, Marty, and Ryan Malone. I mean, not much more can say about Stamkos besides he's a 50-goal scorer. I mean, there's not many guys that are, pretty well guaranteed locked 50-goal scorers, like a home run guy. I mean, he's that good, and he's going to score 50 every year.
I don't know. You mentioned all the players, but I would like to see them get off to a good start because Mr. Yzerman has his life on the line there with the decision he made about bringing a new head coach who was really following what he had before. And so it would be interesting if they get off to a good start, take a little pressure off him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it was a good situation with Guy Boucher, and it just never worked out at the end. And then, getting Johnny Cooper, who's won at every level. I mean, I think we'll be a better defensive team. I mean, I like the way he coaches. It's more of a structured defensively. They don't give up a lot of chances. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play. I mean, Johnny Cooper went down with a lot of these young kids, won a championship in Green Bay in the USHL for 2 years. He won a couple there. He actually won a championship and with Norfolk, and in Syracuse they lost in the finals. And, he won 29 straight games in a row. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I don't care if you're playing chess or you're playing whatever. I mean, 29 straight games in a professional level. I mean, I don't know whoever has did that before. I don't think it's ever been done.
Brian, what's it going to be like seeing Vinny the Cavalier in a Lightning jersey? He's been with the organization since 1998. I know myself it's going to feel strange not to see him tomorrow night.
Oh, you know what? I mean, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Vinny was a great ambassador for the team, everything he did, and no one's trying to say anything negative. It came down to dollars and cents, and, at the end of the day, the Lightning just couldn't afford the contract, and that's why they had to buy him out. I mean, it wasn't an easy decision. I mean, I know Steve Yzerman, who played for Detroit for 22 years straight and was a captain of the team for 20. I mean, and Mr. Vinnick, Jeff Vinnick, what can you say about a great owner we have for the Lightning? And I really think it was a tough situation to be put in, but at the end of the day, his contract for the next 7 years was just too much money, and they just didn't want to pay it.
Exactly.
It's going to be a beauty when he comes in with Philadelphia. That first game in is going to be a corker.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how that goes. And it's sad, but, at the end of the day, that's part of the business. And, when you sign a contract like that, things like that can happen. And I don't feel sorry for Vinny. I mean, I know he's did a lot, but He's going to get paid $32 million over the next 14 years for the Lightning to do nothing.
Yes, and that's going to be that's
nothing. That's not a bad paycheck. How would you guys like to do that? For 14 years, you get $2.5 million.
I'd be a golf course every day.
You can just go golf every day and do whatever you want. It's not bad.
Tommy gets that every year with the show.
Yeah. Is that what you guys make down there? You guys make that much money, $2.5 million each? That's pretty good.
That'd be a cut for Tommy.
Brian,
Tommy makes way over that.
Right.
It's all good.
Nobody's allowed to go to his house. He doesn't want to see everybody to see how much he's got.
I don't see the dogs down there. Brian, we're broadcasting live from Danny Sports Bar and Grill in Palm Harbor. It's just a new home for sports tonight. We'd like to have you come out here one day, do a show out here, Brian. It's a fun time out here.
Yeah, one time we should, get together and do that. It'd be great. So, looking forward to the games tonight. Actually looking forward to watching the Rays play tonight and see how they do in the baseball game at 8 o'clock. So I'll be putting on my Rays hat and cheering for our good Tampa Bay Rays.
Brian's tough thanks, decision for me. I'm from Cleveland, so I don't know what the. Hey guys, we got Chris from Danny's Tavern Style about some specials. Chris.
Hey guys, just wanted to let everybody know about our bolt package that we're doing this this year. It kicks off October 19th, and it's a $75. It includes a pregame meal with a homestyle pasta dish, garlic bread, and salad. And that's going to go on before the game. And then with your club ticket for $75, that includes a ride to the Forum. And after the game, a ride back to Danny's in Palm Harbor. That's the original Danny's on Curlew. $75 gets you food, club ticket, and a ride to and from the game. It's a great bar, great atmosphere, a lot of good hockey fans up here, and it will be a great time. So we look forward to seeing everybody come out. The first one's going to be October 19th against the Bruins. And go Bolts.
I'll tell you one thing. You didn't pick a bad team to have the first one. Well, the Bruins come in. I mean, if you pick the Bruins or the Blackhawks, you can't go wrong.
Brian, I like the menu, John. I like that menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, I like that. You said their hockey fans have that in it. NHL package here, Brian. We're looking forward to meet you when you come out here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get together. We'll try and do it one time. So, you know what? That should be interesting to see. I mean, you know, it's a big road trip to start the year. Obviously, playing Boston, very difficult team. I mean, you know what? I mean, when you look at Boston and then Chicago, I mean, you're looking at probably the top one or two teams in the East and top team in the West. I mean, I think both of those teams have a chance to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals. They're very, very deep, very talented, a lot of veteran leadership. So, I mean, very difficult way to start the season with those two teams. And then go to Buffalo, and Buffalo's an up-and-coming young team. So, it's going to be a real interesting road trip. I mean, you know, we got to come out of there, you know, hopefully 2-1, but, you know, 0-3 would not be good coming home.
Well,
Brian,
the Blackhawks
right
are
now,
all over Sports Illustrated. They're picking now. I talked to Tommy about it yesterday, and they're picking the Blackhawks to keep going. So it'll be very interesting with Scotty Sun, the GM over there. Why he's done a great job over the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's Dan Bowman, and, you know, obviously Scotty, his son, is. They did a fantastic job with the Chicago Blackhawks. And, you know, they had a good game last night. They beat Washington 5-6-4 in a real great game. But, they're always tough. They got goaltending. They got Taze. They got Kane. They got Sharp. They've got a talented team. That's why they won the Stanley Cup, you know, 3 of the last 4 years or so. But, you know, and the Bruins are no slouch either. They both went to the Stanley Cup Finals. So we're kicking off the year with two teams that went to the Stanley Cup Finals with very minimal changes in their lineups.
Brian, I'm going to say right now, Teddy Purcell, 50 goals this year. Stammer, 50 goals.
There he goes.
Be in the playoffs.
There he goes.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be good. I mean, I will bet money that Stamkos gets 50, but Teddy, you know what? I mean, it'd be great, but I hope he can get 30. We'll take 30 from him. And,
one thing, you know. Eric Brewer would be a plus this year, because he told me off the record. He says, Tommy, I'm ready. He says, Eric, you're gonna get some pluses this year. So you're darn right. So. There you go for the horse's mouth, Mr. Eric Brewer. Have a good year, Brian.
Oh, you know, we need him. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, he has had a lot of load the last 2 or 3 years. And you know what? We need Victor Hedman to step up and play his game. He's been in the league 3 or 4 years. And you know what? He's time for him to take it to the next level. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Sammy Salo's in the lineup. And, you know, we've got a good defensive core right now, Matt Carl. I mean, we've got some good leadership, good veteran guys. We got Schuster, a young kid. You know, we got Keith Ali. We got, Barberos, who might play and might not play tomorrow. But, I mean, it's really a good lineup. I mean, we're going to be a really fast, aggressive team, you know, and stuff like that. So we're going to skate hard, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all shapes up tomorrow. I'm excited.
Tommy, I hope when you talked to Brewer, you talked about how you ripped him last year during the whole season.
No, I don't.
Before you told him, he congratulated him, said what a nice guy he was. I hope you told him, all last year, I ripped you at every game.
Yeah. Picking the trash cans down at Stairway 19, Don, and everybody.
Yeah.
But, Brian,
see, I, rem- remember, Tom. See, Tommy, I remember these things. See, people forget.
The truth comes out, Don. Roger,
we stand up for what we say. Some guys, they go around the corner, oh, you're such a great guy. They don't say, you know, I whipped you last year from stem to stern.
Right.
It's like you used to say to Bob Daly, hey, Daly, hit him with your purse.
That's great.
But, Brian, always a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah,
sounds good, guys. We'll have to get you on next Wednesday. Have some time before the home opener, and that'd be great, Brian.
Sounds good. Let's touch.
Brian, have a great season.
Thanks,
Brian.
Let's talk next week and see where we're at, and hopefully we'll have some good news with the Lightning. Maybe 2-1 or 3-0 would be a fantastic start with the stinking Panthers coming in for the home opener. So I think it's going to be good. Let's see how it all shapes out. Look forward to talking to you guys next week around this time.
Thanks very much, Brian. We look forward
to
getting started.
Have a great night.
Thank you, Brian.
You too.
Bye, guys.
Oh, my God. I forgot to tell Brian, Don, and Roger Frank, my favorite hockey player is number 77 for the Panthers, Tom Gilbert.
That's right.
I only have one question on that one, Tommy.
What's
does
that?
He hold on to the side as he goes around like you do?
Yeah, he does it. Hey, we got some more Denny's. Hey, guys, Denny's from Chris is going to have some. Okay, hold on. But the owner from Dennis Sherry's going to talk, but she's preoccupied. We'll try to get her back. And she's going to come back. We'll get Sherry's on. Sherry from Danny's Sports Bar and Grill. Her guys are. When you kind of come up here, it's a great sports bar, and people are friendly up here and that. It's just a great time out here for you living in Pinellas County, or a great place to tour from after a Lightning game, and she's going to come up to see she's going to come. Well, she can't see that, but no, guys, it's going to be good to have Brian Bradley on every week that way, so it's be fun to do. So, and we got Chris come on from Danny's Bar. Chris, talk about some more about your bar.
All right, well, this is the original Danny's in Palm Harbor off of Curlew Road. During the Lightning games, we're going to do bolt bombs. It's going to be a little blueberry bomb. Everybody should like that. Can't go wrong with a bomb. They're going to be $4. Everybody seems to like that. Later on, we're going to be doing a Fat Tire pint glass night. So Fat Tire, you know, everybody loves Fat Tire. So, you know, that's what the bus is for. So, you know, come in, buy a Fat Tire, give you a pint glass. And then before the game, we're going to do, pre-game drink specials. And then after the game, post-drink specials. And down the road, we're going to do a Lightning jersey night. So you come in, you wear your Lightning jersey. There'll be specials and everything. We definitely want to support the Lightning. We want everybody to come out. We've got 30-plus TVs, and then we got the big screen with the surround sound. It's going to be a bolt bar, absolutely. So we want everybody to come out.
Terrific.
Well, guys, Tommy, how about that? Don, you got to come up, and Frank and Roger, you got to come up and see this place. I mean, my God, everybody has a good time up here and that, and it's your first broadcast live up here and that, and everything.
Tommy, we have one of the most proficient announcers for hockey in this area joining us now, Mr. Phil Esposito.
I'd like to welcome to the program. This gentleman is a legend in hockey, played great hockey for the Boston Bruins, New York Rangers, founding father of an organization. Every time I go in the building, I always say, thank you, Phil, for bringing hockey down to our area. He's a gentleman, a scholar, Hockey Hall of Fame, and he's a friend of mine and a friend of the program. Phil, this comes from the heart. Welcome to the program. Welcome to another season of NHL Hockey.
Well, thank you, Tommy. Hi, guys. How are you? I'm excited that
Phil,
hockey
how
is
are
back.
You, sir?
I'm pretty
well,
good.
I think
thank
we're
you.
Happy, and welcome back to the show. And I thought it was interesting. We talked a little hockey the first little bit of the show, and they talked about Cooper, and he's going to change the defense around. I know you were an offensive guy, but you don't win without defense. What do you think?
Well, he's going to change the defense around in a lot of areas. I think the defense this year will be more offensive-minded than before, and I'll tell you why. I think they'll join the play more. That's the way the game has evolved. The game has evolved where the defenseman has to be smart enough to know when to join the play and to create, instead of a 3-on-2, a 4-on-2, or, you know, a 4-on-3. And that's what the game is about now, and odd man rushes and stuff like that. I can see Victor Hedman being let loose a little bit more. I'm excited by that. Barbario, if he plays, is a very offensive-minded defenseman. Matt Carl can be offensive. Sammy Sellos definitely could be offensive. So the only one in that whole group that I don't see being able to join the play as quickly as possible is Eric Burr. But then again, Ratko Gudas is another one that probably would stay back and be defensive-minded. But it's going to be interesting. There's no doubt about it.
Phil, what about the no icing rule? I mean, you played the game, and I love the old-time icing rule. Both players battling for the puck. Now they're just going to try to skate the blue line, whoever's closer. There's been no icing.
Well, you know what? As far as that's concerned, if the linesmen call the game like they did in the preseason, it'll be fine. And quite frankly, over the last decade or so, we're always trying to find ways on how to protect the players. Players don't have a lot of respect for one another anymore. And quite frankly, before they tried this hybrid rule, guys would be running defensemen from behind all the time when they were going back to get the puck. So I was dead against it, but the way they're doing it, I think it still allows a race and it still allows for a play to be had, but I think it'll stop the guys from smearing somebody from behind, and I hope it does.
Oh, boy.
Now, you played for one of the great, in my opinion, the greatest offensive defenseman of all time, number 4, Bobby Orr. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you feel, when you talk about offensive defensemen now coming into the game, do you feel that it's going to develop more offensive defensemen like, you know, Bobby was? Not at that level, but they will develop more and more.
Well, they'll develop more and more, but there'll never be another Bobby Orr.
No, that's my honest opinion.
But Paul Coffey was pretty damn good at it, too. Of course, he had the supporting cast with Gretzky and Messier and these other guys, Yari Curry, who could score at will. I think what's going to happen here, you're going to start seeing five-man units so that guys go on the ice five at a time, and they all have a job to do, and the defensemen are going to have to be more involved in the offensive part of the play, just like the forwards really have to get back there and help the defensemen, help them dramatically, a lot more than it used to be because of the way the defense come in now and get involved in the play. So the game has evolved and the game has changed, there's no doubt about it. These guys are so much bigger and faster and stronger than we were in our day. There's no doubt about that. And you're going to have to do a lot of things.
Well, Phil, just following up on what Roger said, and I couldn't agree more, there are certain players in every sport that change the game. When you look at the history of the game, you can pick out, on one hand, every player that changed the game, and Bobby was one of the ones that you can look at right now. I don't care if you look at him 20 years from now or 20 years back. He's the guy that changed the game.
Well, he changed it as far as that offensive defenseman was concerned. There's no doubt about that because of his speed. Bobby was one of the fastest skaters I ever saw in my life. Maybe people didn't realize that. And you think about it, he only played 10 years, and he did things that no other player has even matched. You know how I feel about that. When people say, who's the greatest player, it's very difficult to compare apples and oranges. And Bobby was a defenseman. He couldn't play forward. He wasn't good playing forward. And Wayne Gretzky, I mean, the things he did at forward and broke records that I don't think will ever be broken. You know, you got to consider him the greatest forward. So, but the funny thing is, too, longevity plays big time roles in when you talk about greatest players. Like in baseball, would you say that Teddy Williams was the greatest hitter you ever saw?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Longevity, and even though he missed, what, 4 or 5 years being in the service, I think it was 3 or 4 years, but he still was one of the maybe the greatest hitter of all time. And but Pete Rose was one hell of a hitter, no doubt about that. The guy Lou Gehrig was the guy that played every game, and I mean, just. It's like in every sport, you have that, you know, and you do have a guy that comes out and changes the game a little bit, and other people follow it. And then people forget, and they start moving off into a team's move off. If a team wins a Stanley Cup and they're tough and rough, the next year everybody tries to get tough and rough.
Right. Oh, yes.
It's crazy.
We saw that with the Flyers, boys. They changed the games. Schultz and company changed the game. They had to change the rules to get rid of that.
Well, that's right. And then they changed the rules in the 50s because the Montreal Canadiens would score in a power play at will.
Wow.
And so did Edmonton Oilers, you know. I mean, so they always are trying to, and they keep changing things all the time, it seems. You don't want you guys, it seems to me baseball is the only sport that really never changes.
About that, because football certainly has changed where a defensive player can hardly touch an offensive player anymore.
Exactly. You can't touch them. But in baseball, the way it's changed is they put gloves on, elbow pads. They've got chin pads on. Pads on. I mean, come on. How many more things can they do?
Phil, the one thing about hockey and the one thing about football, the reason they changed all these rules, in my opinion, because the guy understands wants to see offense. He wants to see scoring.
Everybody does.
Football was a much better game when the defensive players could play defense, and the offensive player had to establish his own position, trying to catch a pass in the flat or catch a pass going downfield. The same thing in the National Hockey League. They want to see more scoring.
They
want to
see more scoring.
The rules.
Yes.
Well, you think about it, guys. The most popular sport in the world is soccer. But
right.
It's not so popular in the United States because there's not a lot of scoring.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
And that's just the way it is. Everybody wants to see goals, and they want to see touchdowns, and they want to see home runs. And you know, I think back in baseball that year that McGuire and Sosa and all these guys were hitting all these home runs and everything else, and then they talk about the, not steroids. I guess it is steroids. I don't know what the enhancers. Let's put it that way, you know. But let's be honest. I think that saved baseball.
I think it saved it. Right, certainly helped.
I think you're right about that, Phil. Because these guys are in steroids, and see, we look the other way now. Everybody's baseball is back to strong right now. But I still think the NHL is stronger, Phil.
Well, I the NHL. If you look, if you're a hockey fan, you're in. You're in for the whole route. There's no doubt about it. I could be a casual baseball fan or a casual football fan, but I'm a hockey fan. You know,
right?
And that's just the way people are. People that love football, but most people I know love football because they can bet on it.
Well, the one thing I think, Phil, too, when you talk about that, you know, and there's a lot of division between whether people want to see this or want to see that. But if you watch the Texas Ranger game 2 nights ago,
I
and
loved
Peralta
it.
Came back after a 50-game suspension because of the steroids.
Oh, exactly.
And he got a standing ovation for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
People don't. The guys in the stands. They don't seem to care about that. They want to see is his player back.
Look, they don't care.
Right.
The fans don't care whether the guy's on steroids or anything else.
Yep.
But yet, a guy like Pete Rose, who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because of what he did on the field, can't get in it.
Right.
But you get guys that have taken drugs and everything else and being in jail and everything else, they can get in the Hall of Fame. What the hell is that all about?
You're right.
That's a great point. You never see that in hockey, and, you know, like people get in trouble, like everything like that. Hockey players wrote from the old school, Phil. Remember the you've been away?
It's going to change, though, Tommy. I'm telling you, it's going to change. With the advent of guys making more and more and more money, they get more and more cocky. They get more and more like the world owes them a living. You can do anything you want, the whole bit. And quite frankly, that's really is the crux of it all, is the amount of money that everybody makes.
Right.
It just blows you away. You're making that much money, you think that you can get away with anything.
Well,
no, you can't.
Tommy, don't jump the gun about hockey either, because, listen, and Phil knows well, because they had a player that up in Boston who went and decided to play his own league, and he had plenty of trouble with drugs, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I know you're talking about Derek, and I sat beside him for 8 years.
Right.
I had no idea he was doing drugs. I knew he was drinking because I could smell it. I used to say to him, Jesus Christ, Turk, you could at least have mouthwash or something, you know?
Hey, you know, Phil, you've been a great broadcaster for many years, and as I've said when you've been on before, I lived in New Hampshire for a couple of years, and I used to watch those games on TV 38, those Boston Bruin games, when you had the original six and then the new six that came in 67. And did you ever dream back then when you were playing that hockey and sports across the board would be like it is today with all these networks and everything else?
Well, growing up in Canada, I mean, it was, yeah, that was it. You know, I was on CBC all the time, and it was on every Saturday night. I mean, every Saturday night. I didn't go out. I stayed home and I watched the hockey game. And that's just the way it was. My father and my mother and I and my brother, we would stay. My dad would make a pizza, bingo. We would be there watching the game. The game has changed. There's no doubt that the league wants to get it more popular on television, but it's a very, very difficult thing to do. Television, hockey doesn't, I don't know, exude something that is really good on television. Although with the advent of HD, it has helped, but I wish these announcers would just shut up and let them play.
Oh, you're
Jesus,
right.
Bless me, they talk so much I can't take it.
Who cares whether the guy has pink shorts on? They put three people in the booth, four people in the booth, five guys before the game. I mean, it's
unbelievable. I don't know whose idea was to, and I've talked to some of these guys, you know, like Eddie Olchuk from NBC. He says, really and truly, he says, the producer's yapping in your ear. They've got dead air. Talk, talk, talk. Here's a guy that probably never played a game of hockey in his life.
Yeah.
And he's telling the guy to talk over the announcer who's doing the play-by-play. But it's a very difficult sport for television.
You know what else it is, Phil? You've got these kids that are now the producer. When I say kids, young people, younger.
30 years old.
Exactly. And if you look at them, all they do is look at their cell phone and text and do email all day long. They don't talk to you face-to-face.
No,
I see this over at the Falcons. You know, in the locker room when you have some of these young people that even work for the team, young woman, she never takes her face out of that phone. So
no idea
about history.
Unfortunately, that's what it has become. I am one of these guys that stays away from the Twitter and the Facebook bullshit. I just can't take it, you know. I just can't take it. I got enough problems answering an email once in a while. And when my grandkids text me,
I don't care what sports channel you go to or what game you're watching. I mean, they got to run the crawl across the bottom all the time. I mean, they can't.
All the time.
First of all, the announcers, all three of them are talking. Then you got the crawl going across the bottom. for somebody that's one of these fantasy leagues or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely destroys every single game that you're watching.
What do you guys think is the hardest sport to broadcast?
I'd say hockey.
I think hockey.
No.
I would say hockey, but I would say soccer would be the toughest one to broadcast because there's so little, there's so little activity as terms of scoring is concerned. You have to have, you got to fill a lot of time when you're doing soccer.
You're right, Doc.
Without a doubt, I think soccer and baseball. I got to tell you, sometimes when a pitcher takes 15 seconds or 25, 35, 40 seconds between pitches and warm-ups and everything else, and these guys do 162 games?
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I think I'd pull my hair out, whatever got left.
Well, I'll tell you, when you see a game that is well-pitched
and moves along, it's so much better a game. I mean, they don't understand how much better a game it is if it's played in 2 hours and 15 minutes instead of 3 hours and 15 minutes.
I agree. I agree.
Don and I have done high school baseball, and if you can do high school baseball, you can do anything.
Good luck.
You don't get statistics. You don't get any notes, any game notes. You got to put it all together.
You know who the players are on the field.
Yeah, exactly. You're right on the field. And what I did was I tried to make it a conversation between two people, talking about what was going on, whoever was doing the game with me, what they saw in this player, if there was some idiosyncrasies that could be corrected. You try to make it like you're in a family room in a conversation.
That's right.
I don't know how else you could make it work, tell you the truth.
Well,
anyway.
Thank you so much for coming on, sir. We'll talk to you during the hockey season. I'll see you next Thursday night, and thank you so much, Phil. You're our founding father. Every time I go to the building, it says thank you for bringing my sport down to Florida, Phil. That's coming from the heart, Phil.
Thank you very much, Tommy. I appreciate it.
I'll tell you one thing, Phil. Before you
Phil,
go,
take
you
care.
Were
a great season.
You were a tremendous, tremendous addition to the National Hockey League when you played. You were a tremendous addition to the National Hockey League to bring the franchise. And I think you do the same thing with the broadcast. And it's nobody we'd rather have on. It's one of the best half hours we ever have.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that.
You'll always be number 7 in my eyes.
Okay. You got it. I'm all right with that. Take care, guys.
Take care.
All right.
Gentlemen, we got a gentleman on the line right now, good friend in the program who's, thank God, he's on a bye week this week, and we're going to play some golf. Mr. Roy Cummins of the Tampa Tribune. Let's go play some golf.
Oh, I've been waiting for him.
Get your way out of that.
I've been waiting for him, boy.
Roy, welcome. What a week.
Bye week, I can tell you that.
Hey, Roy, can we play golf on Friday?
Freeman, and you know what? If we have any more weeks like this, it's going to be a bye-bye week for Greg Schiano, too.
Well, Roy, let me start you off with a question here that I have really no understanding of before we talk about last week's game and all the problems with Freeman and everything else. How can you be going in and tested for drugs, pass every single test, and why are you going to a drug prevention plan if you never had any association with any drugs? All you took was something that had originally been agreed by doctors that you should take. You took something else, but there's no suspension, there's no problem, and you're in a drug program. Why?
Well, according to Josh Freeman, he says that he mistakenly took Ritalin instead of Adderall, which he has permission, which you have to have. You have to have permission to take Adderall. He says he has that, but he mistakenly took Ritalin at one point, and it could be that he tested positive. And then what happened is there was a negotiation. And again, I'm just assuming this. I don't know this for a fact. It could be at that point that he just had a negotiation and said, look, I took the wong thing. You're going to find Ritalin in there. I made a mistake, and he had to have a discussion with the NFL's drug czar, so to speak. And from that point on, he said, look, let's do this. You know, I don't want my name tarnished. I'll go into the program, which is supposed to be private anyway. You can test me for everything for the next 18 months. And,
but wouldn't it be better to just say that rather than all the things that's been printed and talked about?
That is what he said. Now, that statement, unfortunately, left out some details and it left some holes in it. Being a professional writer who realizes details are very important, you know, I would have made sure that all those details were pointed out. But, you know, maybe some things were missed.
Right.
And on the other hand, maybe it's just his way of explaining it. That's the reason he's in the drug program. Maybe it's not accurate. I don't know. But I would take him at his word at this point. The thing about it is, if you have a player, well, here's the thing. Teams don't necessarily know they have a player in the drug program. If you see a player constantly taking tests, as Freeman was, you can suspect that he's in the program, but again, you can't know why unless he tells you why. And, if he's taken, I find it hard to believe that Josh Freeman would put in a statement that he's taken 46 other tests for every other banned substance and come up clean in every one of them, and that'd be a lie. I find that hard to believe that you would come out with a statement like that.
What do you think if the league agreed to this and that he did make an accommodation and take the wrong thing? And I think he probably did. I agree with you. I think he probably did take the wrong thing. Why would they put him in a drug program? Why wouldn't they just say, okay, we accept your explanation. You're not going to be suspended. You're not going to be anything. Why would you go on a drug program for that?
Well, because once you test positive for a banned substance, you're in the program no matter what.
But they didn't say that. They didn't say he didn't pass it.
No. The league
didn't. They're not allowed to, John.
Oh, wow.
Josh Freeman said it. He said it. He said,
right.
How he got into it, whether he volunteered to join it, whether he was actually in it and then volunteered for the 18-month thing, it just seems to me that knowing the fact that I know what happened was there was a bit of a negotiation there.
Okay.
Because every player can go to the league and say, oh, well, I screwed up this time. Oh, I didn't mean to take this. I didn't mean to take that. That's not a good enough excuse. I didn't know. I made a mistake. It's just like driving, 70 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, you get a ticket. But you can't say, I didn't know is not a good excuse. So you're going to get thrown into the program, and at that point, probably because it was an honest mistake, it was Ritalin instead of Adderall, it's the same, it's designed for the same reason. At that point, the league probably says, okay, I understand. He probably got a very good – his agent probably worked it very well and said, hey, take the kid's clean. Take him for, take every test you want. He's clean. And we had a similar situation a couple years back with Mike Williams, who was arrested for a DUI. And he swore that he was clean, and he took a test. In fact, he told the police, take me down there and I'll take the test. And before they said, no, I want that test sent to the NFL as well. I want to prove that I'm clean. So sometimes players, when they're clean, they jump in and jump ahead of the whole program and say, hey, I want to prove to you I'm clean and that I'm not making this up. And here's the proof. You can test me all you want. And so maybe it's a form of that. That's what I believe.
Okay, fellas. I got my answer. Go to it.
Well, Don, I've got to tell you something from a legal point here, that Adderall is a much different makeup. It's for the same thing, ADHD. But Ritalin is a derivative of methamphetamine. So it's not even the same color or the same size. So for somebody to tell me that they took it by accident, somebody may have given it to him because he didn't have his Adderall. That's fine. I accept that. But to tell me that you took it by mistake, I don't buy. I feel sorry for Josh Freeman. I think he's getting the short end of the stick here. I feel sorry for Schiano only because he's being chastised by the union, saying that he's the one that dropped the dime. somebody dropped a dime. Who cares who it was? It happened. If Nixon had come out and said, by God, I screwed up, he'd been King Richard the First.
Right.
Well, Frank, I don't know anything about drugs and what they look like or anything, so I have no answer to that question whatsoever. But
I think
Roy answered it to the best of my satisfaction.
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think the insight that we just got is tremendous, because to me, that sounds like a reason to me why Josh would have to go and say, look, I made a mistake, I screwed up, because it's got the roots to methamphetamine. It could be viewed as another issue, and you should know better, and there is a major difference in the way they look. You could see why the league would say, look, we're not buying that. You're in the program, and you're one step away. The key to this whole thing is he was not even one step away from a suspension. He was in good standing with the league because of the way he was in the program, and that is an indication that there was an agreement between all parties that said, all right, Josh, we believe you. You made an honest mistake. You didn't take methamphetamine. You did take Ritalin. You screwed up for whatever reason. Doctor gave you that because the other one wasn't working. Somebody gave it to you because, it was a leftover pill and you ran out of the Adderall. Who knows? Who knows the reason? But the fact that he was in good standing in the program, was not one mistake away from a suspension, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, tells me that all parties agree that there's been some, and I'll put this in a quote-unquote honest mistake that he made somehow. And because you're right, you got to know what you're taking and putting in your body, and that's part of the program, and it's part of the league, it's part of the responsibility of the NFL player now with the program. You got to know what you're putting in your body.
Roy, Tommy and I were talking about this yesterday, about who, as you said, dropped the dime. And I was listening to Jim Miller and Pat Kerlin on Sirius Lad yesterday, and I thought Pat had a pretty good idea of how this happened, that when a player, and I want you to give me your opinion about this, when a player... A team is inquiring about a possible trade with another team. They will call the league office to find out if there's a dossier on the specific player. And what they're not going to lie about it, and then they would tell the team or teams that were inquiring about the possible trade that what they had on the player. And could it be that a team that was inquiring about the possible trade was the one that dropped the dime one, Josh?
It's possible, but I'm going to say I doubt it, simply because in order to get that information, to get a positive from the league, and by positive I mean I'm Team A and I'm calling the league to find out if Josh Freeman is in the program, the league cannot tell me that unless he is one step away from suspension. So... because phase one of the program is a wide array of issues. It's everything from a guy who got busted for DUI to a guy who's tested positive for marijuana or any other drug at least once. There's a lot of flexibility within phase one of the program, and the league does not have the license to reveal any of that information to anybody unless you are one step away from suspension, which means, and usually in order to be one step away from suspension, you have to have had at least not just one positive test, but maybe two, and at some point fail to maintain the program, which means you might have missed the test, you might have failed the test, you might have failed the test for another, could be alcohol, could be something else. So there's a lot of variables that are there, but the league cannot tell a team inquiring about a trade that a player is in the program unless he is one step away from suspension.
Okay. That clears that up.
Yeah.
Hey, Roy. Just to change subject for a minute, we're broadcasting live from Danny Sports Bar and Grill. And guess what game's on right now? I'm watching Vinny the Caviar.
The Indians.
No, I'm watching Vinny the Caviar on TSN right now. Just had a good shift on there. Couple shots on goal. This is Big Roy. This is the new home of Sports Tonight. Got to get you come down here one day after your crazy football season's over. They have I'm looking at 10 TVs across the bar right now. Every day, everything is a different sports on up there and that. But what a week you had. Roy, what a week you had. Thank God it's over with right now. So
well,
you got to play some golf and get everything off your mind right
now. What's he saying? Tommy, what's over? That's true.
Nowhere near over, Tommy, but boy, nowhere near over.
It's not over, unfortunately. The bye week is not over. We've got more tomorrow, and until Josh Freeman is with another team and established and probably weeks down the road with that team, it's not over. And if that team happens to be, you know, some other club that's coming into Tampa or the Tampa's going to see, it ain't over, pal. It ain't going to be over for a long time.
Roy, let me ask you this. But let me put this scenario, and I don't want to dominate it, but there's just a series of things that happen in the game Sunday that I really don't understand. One, they're ahead 10 to nothing. Then they're ahead 10-3. Now, they kick off, and there's what? I don't have a play-by-play sheet in front of me, but it's about 4 minutes and what, 35, 33 seconds to go in the game when it's 10-3 and they kick off.
Yeah.
Okay, they run it back out to the 25 or 26-yard line. Now, they still have three timeouts. And listen, I'm in all honesty, I'm rooting for Bruce Arians because I broadcast all his games. So I'm rooting for Bruce Arians. But
okay. They
run it out. They run it out somewhere over the 20-yard line. Now, and Arizona still has three timeouts. So now, why don't you run three plays? The ball's on the 25. Even if you don't gain anything, which they didn't do on 12 running plays, they didn't gain an inch. But even if they don't, Arizona's got to use their three timeouts to stop the clock. Now, you punt the ball, and you're going to get it somewhere down inside their 30-yard line, probably 30, maybe even 20-yard line. Now, they got to go 80 yards or 70 yards or 65 yards to tie the game up. Why would you eat with a young quarterback? Why wouldn't you protect them and run the ball? Then on top of that, and here's a scenario that really kills me, and I didn't see anything in the papers about any of this. Why in the world, the next kickoff, after they tie the game, the guy runs it out of the end zone from 8 yards deep and puts his quarterback that never played a game in the National Football League on the 8-yard line? How in the world could you do that? You got to protect your quarterback. You can't make him lose the game. It was the stupidest series of plays I ever saw in my life to take a young quarterback. I never saw a frontline coach in football or baseball. If you got a young pitcher pitching and he pitches 7 1/3 innings and he's ahead 2-1 and he puts a runner on base, you pull him out. So he can't lose the game. The worst thing to do is have a tie. This happened, and not one person mentioned, how can this guy run the ball out of the end zone 8 yards deep?
The whole theme of my game story was that, you know, much like Greg Schiano and Mike Sullivan have been saying all week, it's not just the quarterback. I said, it wasn't just the quarterback. Granted, he was a big part of it, throwing the interceptions. But
you made him a part of it.
Well, yes, but he threw the interceptions. But I also alluded to the play call that you're talking about. It was a 2nd-and-6 play from their own 23. And, you know, and it was just mind-boggling that he would do it. My guess, and again, it's only a guess, because what we were told is that they were confident that, you know, he would make the throw. To me, that's Greg Schiano's ego saying that, hey, I know this kid can make the throw. I never would have run that play. I would have run the ball, like you. And I think 99% of the people who are, you know, Monday morning quarterbacks and Sunday afternoon coaches from their couches would say the same thing. And
Who made those calls?
Well, Greg Schiano made those calls, and Mike Sullivan made those calls. And people are definitely going to question him, and they should, because, yeah, you put the game on the line in the hands. Look, the Arizona Cardinals spent that whole day trying to put that game on the shoulders of Mike Lennon. So here, in the most critical play of the day, you're holding on to a 7-point lead, you're keeping your own end, a 2nd-and-6, you decide, you know what, we'll show everybody. We're going to put the game on his shoulders and watch him make this throw. Everybody's going to say it was gutsy and stupid, but you know what? He's going to make it. Well, guess what? He didn't make it. And
You know,
that's right.
And
good
that's
point.
That's why this decision is potentially going to cost Greg Schiano his job. Because
but not only that, Roy, but if you looked at the game in the context, now go back to the first, I think it was the first series of plays. The first time that Arizona ran a jailbreak. I mean, that poor kid looked like he was, I mean, if he'd had lights in his head, he would have blown up. I mean, and you know when they got the ball on the six-yard line, and they're going to want a pass play. I mean, how did he not get caught in the end zone is just a momentum thing. That's a.
Look,
I mean,
I'm telling you, guys, we know this. I mean, it was the scouting report being manifested is what it was.
Oh
the kid
my
is a
God!
Statue. He's got a nice arm. He's a big, tall kid. He sees the field well. He's a smart kid. He's going to understand the offense, but he's going to be a statue back there. And if the line can't protect him, they bring an all-out blitz. If they zero blitz this kid, he's going down. And they're lucky they didn't get a safety there. It
absolutely. No question about it. The ball was put on the one-yard line. But, I mean that could have easily been a safety. I mean, or a fumble,
Don,
either
I think
one.
Don, I think we all agree that the coach made several mistakes in the way he handled that game. The problem is he tried to coach that game from a quarterbacking standpoint as if he had a 2 or 3 year or 5 year veteran in there, almost like he would have Josh Freeman. If you know, I'm not sure they would let Josh Freeman make that second and six throw. I'm not sure they would have Josh Freeman drop back to pass in
right.
that sack situation where he almost took the safety. Why he would have this kid do it is mind-boggling, and you're right, yeah. Those things were all questioned, and they'll continue to be. And if he doesn't change, if he doesn't realize that you've got to be a little bit more conservative, even if it means putting the ball away and putting it on the shoulders of your defense at this point,
well,
he's going to lose his
job. I can't understand. I mean, football is a simplistic game. I mean, there are certain things that you have to do. I mean, it just boggles the mind that you'd sit there and watch this game unfold in front of you and see these plays transfer. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yep. Well, and Roy and everybody, you know, you had a similar scenario in the game of between Seattle and Houston, okay? Because Schaub has a 7-point lead. All they got to do is keep on running the ball, which they were having success doing, and they would have run out the clock. He throws a pass. It's picked off. It's a pick six. It ties the game up. It goes to overtime, and Seattle wins. Now,
yeah.
Schaub is an experienced quarterback who, in the right mind, told Schaub to throw that pass when you need to run the ball to run out the clock. Let me ask you this.
You and I talked about this last year 187 times. I don't know if Roy was along with us when we talked about it. Smith ran the ball twice last year on a 4th-and-1 to get a first down and didn't get it. What did he do in your game on Sunday? All he's got to do is kick a field goal. He runs the ball and loses yardage with a 4th-and-2, not 4th-and-1, not 4th-and-a-half-inch. He runs the ball on 4th-and-2.
Well, yeah, but the game on Sunday was getting out of hand, okay? And I'll tell you what, I left early, a little early, and I got in my car, and I couldn't believe Wes Durham was saying, for all you people that left early, because I needed to beat the traffic and get home, you're sorry that you left early, because I couldn't believe that they came back. And in a matter of a few minutes, you know, towards the end of the game. But, you know, Mike has been questioned, and Roy knows this, Mike Smith has been questioned about those 4th-and-1 calls. And, you know, you had him a couple of years ago, Roy. You had one offensive coordinator, Mike Mularkey, and now you've got Dirk Cutter. So you got two different philosophies of an offensive group.
Well, you're right there, but what it tells me is that you still have one common philosophy coming from Mike Smith, and that the 4th-and-1 call is something that he must make the call on and say, look, this is what I want to do on 4th-and-1.
It's his call. You're right.
You're right, Roy, but as I say, this wasn't even a 4th-and-1. Roger, you were there. This was a 4th-and-2.
Oh, I know. Well, listen, look at Chip Kelly. You talk about a guy with growing pains. I'm sick watching this guy because he's talking to a coach about whether I should kick a field goal, punt, or run the ball. Wait,
he better take that job at USC. He better
decision.
Take that job at USC because he's not going to be a coach in the National Football League very
long. You got that right. He never should have been. I can't believe this guy.
That's nuts. Roy, getting back to that Buck game the other day, you kind of figured that Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald have been very quiet, and when he made that touchdown, oh, no.
Yeah.
And the guy ran the ball out of the end zone at the 8-yard line, oh, no, again.
Well,
and the Bucs had a 10-point lead, oh, no, here we go again.
Well, you know what, Tom, you're right, and that was part of the problem with that game is that they kept hanging around. The Buccaneers, because they couldn't move the ball with their rookie quarterback, allowed the Cardinals to keep hanging around, around. And sooner or later, a player like Larry Fitzgerald's going to make a play, even if it's against a player like Darrell Revis.
Yep.
Revis can have him, for 58 minutes, but at the end, Fitzgerald made a play. And that's, again, they're going to score on you at some point, more than likely. That's why you've got to take advantage of your scoring opportunities, and they just didn't have that many because the rookie quarterback couldn't move the football team. And,
well, Roy, I said to you earlier, I'm a Bruce Arians fan. I'm so happy that he got a head coaching job. I think he's got to have a tough time out there. But what would you have bet that he wouldn't throw one ball, not only not catch one ball, but throw one ball at Fitzgerald the whole first half?
Well, I think he was smart because he was kind of playing. Look, he was trying to take what the defense gives him. It's the most common, adage in football, take what the defense gives you, and that's what they were doing. Why test Darrell Revis at this point? We'll test him when we have to. I think that was the game plan. If we're not going to throw at this guy. We'll throw at him if we have to. Get the tires straight, and we have to make a play, and we're down a touchdown, late in the fourth quarter, and gee, lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Then we're saying, okay, Larry, it's your time. You got to beat him. I got to make the throw. Let's go do it. And they went.
Well, he made a bunch of plays in the second half. It wasn't just that one play. He made a bunch of plays.
Granted, but I think the early game plan was avoid it. Don't make an unnecessary mistake. Stay in this game because this kid's not going to move the team. And then they realized, hey, you know what? He's not moving them. We're going to have now. It's time to go after this guy. Even if we give up a big stick, we'll get it back because this kid's not going to move this team anymore.
Where do we go from here, Roy? Where do we go from here?
It doesn't change. There's no turning back. It's interesting you asked the question because that was my column last week. There's no turning back. They're not, Freeman's out of here at some point through a trade or a release, more than likely a release. They're stuck with Glennon. He's the guy, and they're committed to developing him now. And, you got for the Buccaneers fans, you just got to hope that this kid figures it out in a hurry and that he doesn't make mistakes like he did the other night. Because, again, another beatable team, another winnable game goes by the wayside, and you can't keep having that because, again, it's going to cost the coach his job because now it's on him. When you go to management and ownership and you say, look, I can't make it work with this quarterback. I understand you drafted him 5 years ago and you think he's your franchise guy and you're in love with him, but you know what? I'm not. He doesn't work for me. It's not going to work for me. I need to make a change. And they say, okay, you're the coach. You make the change. It's your lineup card. Go do it.
Right.
It better work. It didn't work. If it doesn't work, it's going to be a problem.
One last question for me, and that is that, I try to watch these things pretty closely. In the papers, it said the game was going to be on TV because 85% of the tickets were sold, which is the quota, which leaves 15,000 tickets that maybe won't be sold. How does and every one of the articles I read in the Tampa papers, all of it, they listed it at 47,000. Now, they all said this was a number released, 47,000, whatever it was, 775, 875. Do you think there were 47,000 people in those stands? And do you think that game was qualified to be on television?
Well, first of all, no, absolutely not. There were not 47,000 people there. Those are probably tickets distributed. But here's the thing. We were told that we know for a fact that not every game this year, all the Bucs' remaining home games are going to meet that 85% threshold through ticket sales. We know that the Bucs, and I don't know how they're doing. I don't know if they're buying up the tickets, if they're paying the fee that's required to meet that threshold, or if they're working with partners,
right?
Like Public or the Tampa Tribune or whatever. to buy up those tickets and then distribute them to other people. We don't know how they're doing it, but they've just committed to, they believe they're close enough on most of the games to get that 85% threshold. So, but we knew that this game this weekend, the Arizona game, was one that was not going to reach that threshold. But I think it's just the Glazers trying to give a little bit something back to the fans, saying, hey, we understand you're frustrated. We know we haven't proven it.
Hey, I'm all for it. Listen, I'm with you. I'm all for it. But I just think, again,
yep.
I just like to go by the rules. I don't care what, you know, if they make an exception, say, this game we're going to do this or that, fine. I have no objection to that. And I can remember, and Roger will say the same thing, I think Tommy will remember, when CBS broadcast the Eagle games, Channel 10 in Philadelphia, and the games did not meet the quota, the CBS station bought the tickets up.
Yep.
But they legitimately bought the tickets up. They didn't they didn't take it.
Right.
Fox
exactly
did the same thing sometimes too, Don. You know, Fox, Acme Markets used to buy tickets up for games.
Well, guys, I'll say this. I'm seeing a lot of – I've been on two road games now already this year. One was the opener against the Jets in the Meadowlands, and then there was the Patriots game. And I can tell you this right now, neither game was the sellout that they claimed to be. In fact, the joke was made in the press box among some of the Tampa Bay writers that what we saw, especially in New England and even in Meadowlands on opening day, was we said, boy, it looks like a Bucs sellout, which means that there's an awful lot of empty seats up there.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, that MetLife Stadium for the Jets and the Giants, Roy, as you know, I mean to tell you, that's a heavy, heavy number for a ticket.
Yeah, it is a heavy number. And but, you know, I think what's happening is with the 85% threshold, it's all non-premium seats. You know, some stands,
right,
you know, they might have 65,000 and they might have 25,000 non-premium seats. So then that means you only have to send 85% of 40,000 tickets. That may not be that difficult. So, and you know, 85%, I don't want to do the math. I'm not good at it. So, you know, you're talking, you know, what, 35,000 tickets maybe or less than that. And if that's the case, you know, a lot of people may just decide, hey, you know what, I'd rather watch it on TV because they know they're going to get it on TV at home anyway.
Right.
Yeah, and according to MetLife Stadium,
and
I guess at Gillette Stadium, it's the same thing. You've got a lot of those seats that have seat licenses. So they're the ones that are going to show up because they've got, what, $20,000 invested into the seat, plus the price of the ticket.
Roy, can they pull out? With a new quarterback, the young kid, and all the rest of it, can Greg Schiano... Yeah, what can you realistic? We talked about it before the season started. Talked about the competitive edge between all the teams. And you had to win the games. You know, you were close. You had to win them. And I think you gave them I'm not sure, but I think you gave them an 8-8 shot. Maybe a 9-7 if they had a couple lucky games, or maybe the other way around. What do you think now?
Well, I think it's going to be real hard to get to anything like 8-8. I think now at best you're looking at. You're looking at 5-11, 6-10, and that may even be hard to do because the thing is, now you got a rookie quarterback, and he could even have a nice run or two where he figures some things out. But you got to figure there's going to be a mistake or two a game in there that's really going to make it hard to win. And you know, the defense has played it's played virtually lights out for 58 minutes in three games. At some point, the defense is going to have a letdown. You know, they're going to go out and they're going to have a bad day, probably two. And, you know, they're going to lose another game they'll feel like they could win. So I think you're looking at a real down season. And, again, I think at this point, I think it's going to cost Greg Schiano his job.
Wow. You know, guys, I just want to jump in here. Tampa's not the only dumpster fire in the NFL either. You know, Josh Freeman... I mean, the guy's probably more comfortable right now passing a kidney stone than passing a football. I mean, he looks horrible. But you've got Oakland that looks horrible. Jacksonville looks horrible. Who the hell knows what's going on in Pittsburgh? You know, Green Bay, which was a perennial favorite to make it deep into the playoffs, possibly the Super Bowl, is, what, 1-2? Minnesota looks like hell. Philadelphia, don't get me started there. You know, Chip Kelly... His high-powered offense, you know, it took him
disaster.
One game to figure that out.
Disaster.
Yeah, the reason that works so well in the NFL, and I've when they were hired, if you guys remember, I came on and I talked about this before. That's because they were putting up 70, 77 points, 63 points in college, but they were letting in 50, 55. You know, so his defense are traditionally very poor, but he was able to win it because he had just a few guys on the opposing teams that were NFL candidates, where NFL, those teams have the best people for those positions on those teams. So everybody's really good. So, you know, but I think the NFL as a whole has a lot of teams that are going to have down seasons this year, and the only reason any of them are winning any games is because they're playing one another.
Well, look at the Giants, Frankie, 0-4. You know, who would have thought the Giants would be 0-4?
I love seeing the Giants 0-4, though, because I hate Eli Manning.
He always spoke highly of you, Frankie.
Yeah. I don't hate anybody, and I didn't think they were going to be 0-4 myself. I didn't realize the whole defense. But in Chip Kelly's case, I mean, he's played three consecutive games. I mean, if he doesn't give up 45 points a game, why, they might as well not start the game. The other thing is, his offense has the ball for 20 minutes, and the opposition has the ball for 40. Three straight games. How in the world can you win like that?
Yeah, the whole defensive backs, I mean, what did they get them out of, Archbishop Carroll up there? I mean, those guys look like high school kids.
No, they're better.
You know? Yeah, I'm sure Archbishop Carroll's better, yeah. But, I mean, those guys are getting beat, you know, every down, you know.
We're gonna send Manatee up to play him next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Joe Kanaan could probably beat him, Don.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Well, Frankie, you know, there was a sign a woman had up. You probably saw it in the paper in Denver. It said, "Our high school defense is better than yours, Chip."
Yeah.
Chip Kelly changed his name yesterday.
Oh, gentlemen, right. I just seen Vincent LeCavi in a Flyer jersey, and it doesn't look pretty, you know. I wish you still with the Lightning. So, update 0-0 Flyers in Toronto, 0-0 Detroit, and Buffalo, 0-0 between Tampa Bay and Chris. Hey, Chris from Dennis is going to tell us real quick about the specials. Chris, take it away, sir.
All right, sounds good. Hey, just want to remind everybody, you know, we got the game on October 19th. And then our next Danny's Party Bus is going to be on December 2nd against the Red Wings. So everybody's looking forward to that. And just want to remind everybody, the original Danny's in Palm Harbor, during the month of April, we're going to be doing a little party because that is going to be our 30th year in business. Danny's has been the premier sports bar in this area, and it's going to be our 30th anniversary. Details will follow, but just want to let everybody know about that, and we look forward to everybody coming out.
Thank you, Chris. We're updated for broadcast live from Danny Sports Bar and Grill. Thank you so much. Roy, are you still with us, Roy?
No, Roy dropped off.
Okay,
Doug is on, though.
Who's that?
Doug is on.
Doug.
Oh, Doug. Okay. Doug, how you doing this evening? Doug,
I'm doing good. How you doing?
What's the golf tip of the week here?
Well, I tell you, here in the Northeast, obviously, we're starting to wind down our season, so I think for all of our golfers out there that are listening, it's a great time to take an inventory of how your season went so that you can try to finish on a strong note and then begin next season on an even stronger note by trying to figure out what your strengths and your weaknesses were from, you know, this past season. Try to figure out what you can address, obviously, during the off season, whether it's a fitness situation, a conditioning situation, something simple like evaluation of your clubs for either repairs or, you know, gaps in your sets, whether there's yardages that are problematic for you that you had a difficult time, you might need a new club to kind of fill that yardage. So just kind of figure out how your season went and see how you can try to make some really good improvements during the off season and then to start the next one. So that's always a good thing to take an evaluation.
Doug, let me ask you this. How about your evaluation of your Ravens right now? You better reevaluate them too.
Well, you know, obviously the season didn't really start very well with a little hiccup between the Orioles and the Ravens there to get that first game at home. And you know, to go on the road and open up against the Denver Broncos and get their rear ends handed to them by Peyton Manning was tough, and it's even tougher to go on the road and play you know, an average or below average Buffalo Bills team and lose the way they did. I couldn't even watch the game. It was just awful to be a fan for that one. You know, even at the end, as bad as the Ravens played it, I felt like they probably still had a really solid opportunity to at least tie it, you know, or even win it with a clutch drive there. But they obviously have some offensive issues in terms of their inability to run the football. I mean, Joe's thrown to the wrong team again here. Our offensive line is ticket takers. You know, they're not throwing really good solid blocks here. We can't really do a whole lot. I mean, the defense doesn't look too bad. I still think the secondary has some issues, but I'm not sure what's going on there. I think that the winner of that division is 8-8. So, you know, there's some really bad football being played between Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Hell, the best-looking team so far has been Cleveland Browns for the last 2 weeks. So,
I'm shocked.
Yeah. That guy's played really good.
Yeah, but Cleveland's got more points against than they got points for.
You know, for all the fans in Cleveland that were struggling with the whole Trent Richardson thing, I mean, they've won their last two games, which, you know, Hoyer's looked pretty good in there, and to give some of those younger guys maybe a chance, their tight end, Jordan Cameron looks pretty good. You know, obviously they took some of the higher-priced free agents, Paul Kruger being one of, and some solid draft picks. So, I mean, it's I'm telling you, in 9-7 or 8-8 wins that division.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Down here in Sarasota, Florida, we had three games on TV. And if you want to call the Buccaneer game close, which made it, I guess, interesting, we had three of the worst-looking football games you had ever seen in your life.
Right.
I mean, it was just incredible that the football could be as bad as it was on television this weekend here
well,
in
you
Florida.
Know what, Don? The NFL wants parity, and now you're looking at the teams that have been down in the dump are now resurrected, and I'm talking about the Dolphins, and I think
they got a Monday night too, Roger.
Well, they did, but they were 3-8. They're 3-1. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, I saw them beat the Falcons. So I mean, I know that they're a decent team, and I think the Browns are on the right path. And hey, we can't argue with what Joe Banner did with Andy Reid and turning the Eagles around after Jeffrey Lurie bought the team.
Right.
You know, you might as well just give the Super Bowl. You might as well just play it now and have Denver. You know, just give it to Denver. I mean, they have 179 points for at this point. I mean, who would have thought that? And we talked about this a couple of years ago. Who would have thought that Peyton Manning would be playing the way he is right now? At you know, with
right.
his neck and those issues.
I for one thought he had no shot at this. I mean, we talked about it. Talked about first of all, I thought he should have retired. I don't even think he should have come back.
Me too.
Hey, let me remind you that the Denver Broncos looked awfully good moving into the playoffs last year, and the team from Baltimore only had to play them one time in the playoffs, and that's all it takes. So they can continue to win all they want in the regular season, but until Peyton Manning gets over the hump in the postseason, you know, it's been a difficult road for them.
Yeah, but they had Wes Welker this time.
Yeah.
They didn't have them last year.
Yeah, talk about putting the pieces together. Denver put the pieces together, and they put it together right. That is one tough.
Well, he said, yeah, but he's had some great teams that he took into the playoffs and didn't make it. So I agree.
Right.
He won one game, I think, in the playoffs, all told.
Well, no. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
And he went to another Super Bowl the following year with Tony Dungy. They had two Super Bowls.
That's right, He won that.
He won the first one, and he lost the second one.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Leo wanted to know how the cat's doing. Is the cat ready to be picked this week?
Well, I'll tell you, he picked the very first game that he picked this season was the San Francisco 49ers to beat the Green Bay Packers. So he was off to a good start so far. He's been a little lackadaisical the past few weeks. I can't really get him to pin down. I tried to get him to pick the Chiefs and the Dallas game, but I think I confused him because I started throwing points in there, like who's going to win this point and stuff. So I think I confused him a little bit. So I'm going to have to just give him a little bit of time here and just
Leo should be coming on. Leo would love to hear that. Guys,
hey,
it looks
to me like Kansas City may be going to go 5-0. I mean, they got a shot this week to make another run at it.
Yep. Hey, how about Big Red? As Big Red, he really is Big Red now.
That's right.
I'll tell you one thing, if it had been 20 years ago, he could have made a Wimpy commercial.
That's right.
You know, I don't know if Kansas City's going to lose until they meet up with Denver.
Yeah.
They have
Frankie, you're right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Oakland, Houston, Cleveland, Buffalo, and then Denver.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the thing about the Eagles right now, they got to beat the Giants. In New York, then they come down here, and Buck fans will be seeing a lot of Eagle green for next weekend in Tampa.
Thank you, Tommy. I just got a phone call from Mayor Nutter's office in Philadelphia. The city council this afternoon went into an emergency meeting and have changed the name of the Eagles to the Owens. 0-4, 0-5.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're talking about Wednesday night.
I'll tell you one thing. Roger talked about those prices over there at MetLife Stadium. How would you like to be paying that price now to see the Eagles and the Giants play?
I was going to ask you guys, obviously, what kind of feedback are you getting in Philadelphia from the Eagles? Because I know it can be pretty brutal. And as a football fan, I thought the Eagles looked fabulous the first week against the Redskins. What the hell happened to them, and what kind of feedback are you getting?
Well, I'll tell
that's
you,
a great question. I mean, we're down here in Tampa, and we're watching this pitiful. It's like watching a soap opera. The young and the restless right now, and that's what the Bucs are right now. And it's just Josh Freeman, Greg Schiano, Darrell Revis, what else is going on now? And Tycon Underwood's back with the Bucs. It's a soap opera. Thank God I don't have to go over there and went to the preview soap opera anymore.
Well, Roger, and Tommy knows as well, and boy, they jumped off the bandwagon pretty quickly on Chip Kelly. He got all the accolades in the world. Everybody thought he was going to be a world champ after that first game against the Redskins. But, boy, the second game took him down, and every game since then. And people are really rocking the phone shows in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm going to be surprised if anyone has a winning record in that division at all. I think that division is going to be won by somebody who's, 8-11 not 8-11, 9-8-9 or something like that.
Right.
Just 7-9 will win it. It's like the one year Seattle did they won that.
Mm-hmm. Hell, 4-13 would win that division right now. Right. Those guys, they stink it up, and it's a shame because that division was traditionally and for years has been one of the toughest divisions to win.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And the one thing in New York is it's really been bad. If Tom Coughlin, that poor guy can't go to bed at night because he thinks somebody's going to shoot him.
Yeah. Reminds you of the days of Rich Cotite.
Oh, that's exactly right.
But you remember when Williams that threw away the World Series for Philadelphia and he never went home again?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Joe Carter.
Mitch Williams and the home run by Carter.
That's right. Never went home again.
But I'll tell you one thing about Mitch Williams. He's doing a terrific, terrific job on Major League Baseball.
Good.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He's good.
And also on Fox on the Game of the Week. He has really brought it. He and Larry Boa, I don't just want to be Philadelphia enthusiast, but I'll tell you, he and Larry Boa are the two best guys on Major League Baseball after the games.
Yeah. Well, there's talk that Larry's going to wind up as a coach for Ryne Sandberg on the Phillies. He wants to go back to coaching. Yeah.
Let's hope so. They need a great coach like that. Guys, in a hockey game, I just see Vinny LeCavi record his first point as a Philadelphia Flyer. He's around the net, passed up to his team, linemate shot score. So it's Vinny's back to his old stuff against up with the enemy right now.
Oh, boy. They got problems in the Cleveland game.
Yeah, you just got hit.
Think about
George Harris.
Oh boy.
Why don't you drive right through the box, hit him right in the head? They're taking him off the stretcher.
Oh my gosh.
That's the June 15th game.
Alex is a friend of the program, too, Montreal last night with Forrest.
Oh, that was a replay. I'm sorry. They're showing a replay when he got hit in the head earlier.
Paris. George Paris up in, it was his own fault. He was holding on to the guy when he went down, and he was unprotected, went into the ice. I think it's just an unfortunate side effect of fighting. There's some people calling for the end of fighting in football or hockey, which I think I don't think it should ever be that way. I think fighting is a big part of the game, unfortunately. It's something that has to be done.
They changed the rules so that they had to keep their helmet on, obviously, so.
Well, yeah, but if you look at the guys that are getting ready to fight, they'll point to their helmets because you get an extra 2 minutes. But, you know, because of the shields, you're going to end up hurting yourself. So, I mean, the guys are wanting to fight without the helmets. So I think you're going to see that go away just because the players are going to say, look, this isn't, you know, we're going to take our helmets off either way.
Somebody's going to break a hand or break two fingers or something like that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. It's terrible. Frankie, we miss you. We had Bill DeZero on the show, and Bill was talking about the icing. What's your view about the icing right now, the new icing rule?
I think they're just trying to I don't like it. I don't like a lot of these rule changes. But, you know, they've done this time and time again. There's all these rule changes that they then repeal later on. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. I think a lot of the rules end up being that way. But you know, you have to institute them.
Right, exactly. Up there, guys, ready for the football picks? Ready for this picks this week, guys?
Ready. Ready to go.
I'm here, John Adams, in the back room, going bang, bang, bang.
did you win last week, Tommy?
No. We're so busy last week. We forgot to do them.
That's why I thought you won.
No.
We did them last week. We didn't do them the week before.
That's the week before.
Okay. Are you guys ready? Buffalo at Cleveland. Of course, I'm picking the Browns.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'll go with the Browns, too.
Okay.
I'll take the Browns.
Yeah, Browns.
Okay.
I'll pick Cleveland.
Okay. Who's all in? Frankie?
I'm going to take the Browns.
Okay, let's start. Frank?
Browns.
You getting the Browns?
Yep.
All right, so I'll start frame. Green Bay at Detroit. I'm going to go with an upset here, guys. The Lions.
I'm going to go with Detroit again this week. I think this is either going to turn it around.
All right. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm Browns.
Yeah, I'll take the Lions, too.
Oh, okay, great.
I'll take Lions.
I'm going to go with Green Bay. My wife's going to hate me for that pick, but I'm going with Green Bay.
Okay, Frankie?
I'm going with Green Bay, too. I think they're going to lose this game, you know. And Ndamukong Suh, I think, is going to hurt somebody and get fined again. That's my prediction.
Ooh.
He will get fined this year, this month.
He's going to cleat somebody again?
Yeah, you know,
well,
that's fine.
He's probably going to get suspended.
That was a Green Bay game that he stepped on that guy, I think.
Yeah, he's probably the only guy that can get suspended and still get a fine. He'll probably beat up one of the cheerleaders or something.
I think Rodgers is going to need a little more help. I think this year he's a little short. I think he's going to need a little bit of help. And Detroit's coming on. I think this is their year to come to make a move.
How about New Orleans and the Bears at the Bears? I'm going to go with this. New Orleans is unstoppable. I'm going to go with New Orleans.
Is that game in Chicago, Tommy?
In Chicago, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears.
So am I. I'm going to take the Bears as well.
I'm going to take the Bears, too.
Yep.
I'm on the Bears.
Their QB almost got killed last week.
All right, just somebody got the bear shit for myself. Andy Reid at Tennessee. I'm going to go with Andy Reid being 5-0.
I'm going with Andy Reid as well. I think Tennessee has played a couple of good games, but I don't think they're in the same league with Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chiefs because the quarterback for Tennessee, Jake Locker, is injured. He'll be out a couple of weeks.
At least two, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, who's next?
Doug takes Kansas City.
Okay, Doug's got that. Frank?
Andy Reid.
Jeez,
Reid's husband. Andy.
Did you fellas see that hit on Locker? Did anybody, you guys, any of you see that? Well, I'll tell you, that was a shot.
I'm gonna go with Tennessee upset.
Oh jeez. Okay. Here we go. This is the game of the WEAK. Jacksonville at St. Louis.
Oh, God.
This game ended up 5-3.
Oh, St. Louis, definitely, in this game.
All right, St. Louis. I got to go. Myself,
St. Louis.
Yep. Don, Doug?
St. Louis.
Okay. Frank or Frankie?
St. Louis.
I'm going to go St. Louis, -3 to -8.
Oh, God. Captain Happy at Cincinnati. I'm going to go with the Bengals in this case, guys. Gentlemen?
Bengals.
Okay.
Is Gronk coming back this week? Is he unsure about that?
I'm not sure.
Now, as Captain Happy says, he's not available. That's his answer.
Right. We're not sure. We're not sure. We just got to get better. I mean, he does such a good job of game planning when it comes to taking away. He'll probably take away AJ Green somehow, but I'll take Cincinnati. I think they'll find a way.
Okay. Okay. Gentlemen, 1-0 Tampa Bay, Delma Young, a solo shot to the bleachers in left field, 1-0 Tampa Bay. Top of the second inning, guys. Great update for the
good.
Great
good.
Start.
Nice.
I'm going to go with New England.
New England, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, who we got? Doug, we got Frank?
New England.
Okay, ooh, New England, okay. All right, I guess we're all set, right, Doug?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati will find a way somehow, so.
Okay. All right, Seattle, Indianapolis, tough game to call. It's at Indianapolis. I'm going to go with Indianapolis home game.
Never.
I'll take Indy.
Okay.
Doug takes the Seattle Seahawks. Their defense is too good. Andrew Luck throws 4 picks.
Woo! Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
All right, Don?
Don's asleep.
Wake up, Don.
Hi.
Did we lose Don?
No, he's still on.
Yeah, we lost.
Board.
We lost Don.
Okay. Okay. We got Frank. Frankie.
Don takes the Colts.
Okay. Don takes the Colts. Okay. All right. All right. We're all set then, Frank.
Don boy. Jacksonville.
Okay, Frankie.
It's Seattle and Indy?
It's Seattle's at Indy, yes.
Yeah.
I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all righty.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle.
We're all set then, okay. All right, Baltimore at Minnesota. Minnesota's so bad. Colts and Flacco, big time.
I mean, I have to pick the Ravens, but I'm a little nervous about that game.
Well, it's at Minneapolis, right?
It's at Minneapolis, yes.
Yeah, and they're coming, and the Vikings are coming off a win. I'll take the Vikings.
Ooh, look at you, okay. And Frank or Frankie?
Never give up the ship. The Flacco must go on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta.
This bottom at Minnesota.
I don't think why you think of Atlanta.
I'm going to go. Wait, no, Baltimore's playing Miami.
Oh,
Minnesota's got a bye this week.
Oh, Miami, that's right. I'm sorry. I can't read my own. Gee, I put my glasses on. Baltimore, Miami, okay. You're going with Miami, okay. All right, Rob.
Yeah, I'm going with Miami.
Okay, Roger and Frank and
Miami. I'm going with Miami against Baltimore.
Okay. All right, so what's down? Who do you think Donner pick?
Jacksonville.
Is it Donner?
North Turner.
North Turner.
I know he would.
I put him in Miami.
Don's calling Leo to ask him what he should do.
Oh, no. His wheel's like a hat on now. All right. Eagles at Giants. Fly, Eagles, fly, I hope. Gentlemen?
I think we got Don back.
Hello there.
Picking the Giants.
Yeah, we got Don back.
Okay. Don, who are you picking, Eagles and Giants?
I've been listening to you the whole time. I don't know. Every one of the picks you made for me are wonderful. I'm taking the Giants.
Ooh, okay. All right, Roger.
Giants.
Jesus, Giants? Okay, Doug?
Well, somebody has to win this game, so I'm going to take the Giants. I think Eli figures it out this week. If he can't figure it out, it's just their defense, then he should win.
All right. Frank or Frankie, please.
So I'm writing this all down. So Don and Doug are not allowed back on the show anymore. We're picking the Giants.
I'm sorry.
The Giants haven't scored more than 23 points all season.
They'll take care of that this week.
That's right.
30 total points.
They'll be over 30.
Yeah, somebody had. Yeah, I think this game is going to be like 92-86 or something. I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Oh, all right, Frank, who are you picking, sir?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Frank and Frankie, I want to ask you a serious question because I'm concerned. I'm concerned that the Eagles will not win another game this year. Really,
no way.
I think they figured out his offense pretty quick, and he can't adjust. Wow. And the defense is so bad that it wouldn't surprise me if they win games, but I'm just concerned.
Their next
I think
two
you
games
got a point
winning.
There, Roger. If you go back to the Gruden era. And you remember he replaced his quarterback with Gretkowski, and he was the greatest thing to slice bread until he got around one time. Everybody saw what he had, and then he was down the tubes.
Yeah,
these guys
that's right.
got one game in, and they're down the tubes.
Yeah.
No. I don't know that they won't win any, but I agree with you in one point, Roger. I don't think they're going to win very many. I can't imagine with that defense that they can win very many games. But law of averages at home, you have to win a couple.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's I think the final score would be Eagles 5, Giants 2.
Well, I doubt that.
No, that's the score at Jacksonville, St. Louis. That's your 5-3, Jacksonville at St. Louis. That's your score right there. Okay. Carolina and Arizona, gentlemen. Arizona impressed me as a good football team, and Jay Feely's the kicker, so I'm going to go with Arizona.
Well, at home, Arizona, I'm going to take them myself. I think Arizona's going to win this one.
Okay, gentlemen.
And I agree. Yeah, I agree with Don, and I also think that they will get better and better throughout the season because we both are big Bruce Arians fans, and I just think that he's going to get that team really squared away.
Okay. Doug?
I'd say Arizona and the under.
Okay.
under
Frank,
what?
Frank?
I'm going to take Carolina.
Say what?
I'm going to take Carolina.
Carolina, okay.
I know they're 1-2, but they're going to be, 2-2.
Frank? Okay.
I want to apologize for the the guy who just preceded me. I am his father, but I'll take care of that tonight.
Okay.
I look more like Kelly the old oil man than my dad.
That's true.
Still praying that I still go to the cathedral on Sundays and light a candle, hoping that's true.
Yeah.
San Diego Dodge team at Oakland. I'm gonna go with the Raiders for a dark horse right now, gentlemen.
Is that Oakland?
Dark horse.
Is that Oakland?
Is it San Diego at Oakland?
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you, I've been with San Diego the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to get off. I'm going to stay with San Diego. I can pick them.
Okay. I'm going to go San Diego, too.
Ooh, thank you, San Diego. Okay.
I think Manti Te'o is going to have a record. He's going to break a record for the most fake girlfriends. And he will, but I think San Diego is going to win a very close game. It's going to be 3-0.
Ooh, jeez!
I think San Diego is going to win it.
All right, Roger, you picking San Diego or Oakland?
San Diego, right?
Ooh, okay, Frank. Doug.
I will take the former Northerners.
Frank, I'm out here to limit. Need some help for Oakland here.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't help anybody. I'm on the phone with the Pope right now, just telling him I think he was right, that Frankie is screwed up.
How's Norv doing as the offensive coordinator for his new team?
Yeah, not any better than he was in his old team.
That's exactly right.
All right, Denver and Dallas. Anybody but Dallas, you know me. It's Denver. Gentlemen?
Denver.
Okay.
Denver.
Jeez, okay.
I think you're going to see big numbers on this game. I think this is going to be like a 49 or more point game for him.
Ooh. Woo.
I think it's going to be a big game for him again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Frank?
Denver.
Yeah. All right, Doug.
I think until further notice, you have to pick Denver. They're just too good.
Kick off. Houston at San Francisco. I'm gonna go San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Gentlemen. Okay.
49ers.
Okay. Okay. Frank or Frankie?
49ers.
Okay. Okay.
I'm gonna go with Houston.
Oh, jeez, okay. All right, and Doug?
I think you have to take San Francisco at home there.
Okay, and the game, Roger, will be attending on Monday night, the Jets at Atlanta. I still believe the Falcons are the best team in the NFC under Mike Smith, and Reggie Roberts does a great job of public relations. I'm going to go with my Falcons over the Jets.
Well, I'll tell you, Rex has a great defense, but he's not going to be able to score any points, I don't think. So I got to go with Atlanta at home. They got to make up for some of the bad games they played. I take Atlanta.
Gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm going to take Atlanta.
Well, you'll be at the game. Tell Mr. Roberts we said hello.
Will do. I'll tell him tomorrow. You know, I do want to say that that game on Sunday night, that's the first time during the Mike Smith, Matt Ryan tenure that they've lost two games in a row.
Oh, that's right. I should have brought that up. Oh, that's right. Jeez. Frank or Frankie?
I'll go Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Atlanta, too.
Okay, Doug?
I think you have to pick Atlanta. I mean, I know they lost last week, but they don't generally lose at home, so I don't think the Jets are scared.
And the Jets can't score. Jets can't score, so you got to go with Atlanta.
The Jets are terrible.
Well, there you go, guys. I tell you, it's just been broadcast live from Danish. I see Vinny the Cavalier gets his first assist. Dylan Young, one home run for the Tampa Bay Rays. And I was watching this game. Like I told Don before the program, I didn't know who to root for. I heard John Adams. I start banging the drum. And, oh, boy, this could be, I don't know, great catch by David DeJesus gets the ball. Still want the Tampa Bay. But I'm hoping the Rays could win.
1-0 Tampa Bay, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fantastic. We see some baseball Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday night at the Trop, so that's going to be fun.
Do you have
so.
Your credentials, Tommy? Are you all set for those games?
I'm all set for the games. I'm all set, so it's going to be fun to see baseball.
Maybe you can take care of Don and me.
I've talked to Mr. Vaughn up there with this, you know, Mr. Vaughn or Carrie, no, that, what's your name? I can't.
Carly.
Carly. Talk to Carly on tomorrow. Talk to those guys. So let's just see what happens. Just go Rays, you know, and then the Lightning opens up on the next Thursday night in Tampa. So. A lot of good sports coming around, and the Bucks, thank God, they got a bye. And poor Roy's going to cover that crap. Oh, my God. Thank God. I don't have to cover that stuff anymore. Oh, my God. It's been a great – but it's been a great experience, guys, from Danny Sports Bar and Grill down here, guys. And Roger, and you got to come down and –
I will. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I know. I see Mickey in one corner of the TV, so – Roger and Don and Doug and Frankie, thank you so much for coming on, guys. I was looking forward to Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. to have you guys come on, guys. It's been a great show. Don at Philadelphia Legend, Don Henderson, Philadelphia Legend, a legend in Atlanta, Roger Handler, Frankie, Doug, a golf pro expert. So, great. Gentlemen, always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you. Absolutely. Have a great week. Great job, Frank, as usual, at the controls. And, Tommy, it's great being out in the field.
Yes, it is. We can't wait to come down there. Can't wait to come down and see Danny Sports Bar and Grill.
We'll all be there on a Wednesday night
at the ballpark.
Take care. Have a great week.
You'll love it.
Frank, turn them off so they won't stop talking.
Yeah.
I have to get Frank up here, too, because I'm looking at 8 TVs across the bar. Everything's got a different game on. Oh, this is great up here. I'm telling you guys. And they thought the other places are good. No offense, the other places.
Go.
But what's that?
Take
okay.
care. Goodbye.
Gotta go.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Guys.
Have a great week.
God bless. Thank
you. Let's just try to wrap up the show to thank Danny's Sports Bar, of course, for having us here. Brad for White Water here of Amber, Pennsylvania. Purchase the water. Log on to bradforwhite.com. The Abbey, of course. Give Tom a call. 352-588-2016, Tampa Bay Golf and Country. Give Tim Baker a call, 252-588-5454. And the Tampa Bay Lightning's home a week from Thursday night, 7:30, face-off, Tampa Dance Forum, 813-316-600, log on tampabaylightning.com. Frank, always a pleasure, sir. God bless. Give the kids and everything my love down there, Frank. And take it away, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank everybody listening, especially those in the areas that can't get away from anything. I'm talking about the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. These programs are brought to you each and every night. Grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, a simple thank you or thank you for what you did, it means the world to all the guys. These programs are also dedicated to members who've passed in the line of duty: Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Pennsylvania PD, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama Shemahezahilma Sona shenevoratfet Hakuigegen ma'ilma
night, Bob. We miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
Night.